Good morning. The time is 8:07. Currently another very pleasant start here in North Central Wisconsin at our Bull Falls studios. Downtown Wausau, the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Currently partly cloudy skies, 51 degrees already the temperature. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up this morning, we're going to talk about some rain moving into the area later today. Will it affect me? That's always the question, because later today, we are scheduled to have a good one in Wisconsin Valley Conference Baseball between the Wausau West Warriors and the D.C. Everest Evergreens. First pitch is scheduled for 5 o'clock and be on the air at 4:50, but there's been talk about some rain moving in. Right now, you look outside, you think, no way that. It's going to be a great day for baseball. Meh. By the time we get into the late afternoon hours, could be some rain. We'll find out when to expect the rain, how much rain we should be getting, and again, much needed rain here in North Central Wisconsin. Coming up at 8:20, we'll be talking to our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And then after that, after the bottom of the hour, news, weather, and sports update, at 8:34, we will be joined by 7th Congressional District Democratic candidate Kyle Kilborn. And of course, when you look at the calendar, I mean, when we've talked to Kyle in 2023 and then early 2024, and there's still lots of time before we get to the election season, the primary election, and then of course the general election. But time is flying by very, very quickly. We're going to talk about what Kyle Kilborn has been doing on the campaign trail, and also in terms of not just the issues, and of course lots of issues going on when it comes to what's been going on in Washington, D.C. Of course, this past weekend, big votes on foreign aid and a lot of other activity going on. But there's also what you have to do in order to be successful, in order to defeat an incumbent like Tom Tiffany in the 7th. We're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more with Kyle Kilborn again, coming up at 8:34 this morning here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. But before we continue on this very nice morning, need to say good morning to our in-studio engineer and our producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, how did rehearsal go last night?
It was an interesting rehearsal. It started off kind of a slow, but as the evening was going on, we were able to pick up the pace, and we were able to get through the scenes we wanted to work on. At the end of the night, it was very productive. Sometimes the blocking rehearsals can be a little slow.
I always raise an eyebrow, no matter what it may be, when somebody says it was interesting, because you can take that term in so many different ways. You can say that was interesting in a good way. You can say it was interesting in a difficult way. You can say it was interesting in a very bad way, because it's like you can try to use that word in a way to say, well, I don't want to say it was not good, but it was interesting. But again, it can also be used.
I'd say it was interesting in a good way.
Very good. Interesting in a good way. And you said it. I mean, again, I'm intrigued by it. I'm always intrigued by the process, because, and I think that anybody that has not been part of the total process, not been either a part of a cast or part of a crew or part of a production staff, whether it's a movie, whether it's a play, anything like that, you find yourself, not really knowing what the process is. How do we get to the point where you sit in the audience, whether in a movie theater or to see a theatrical production, and you see the final product? You don't see the many times where it is sometimes an easy process, where it just seems to come together very well. But I've been a part of some productions that the process was just like pulling teeth. I mean, it was really, really difficult, where it just took a long, long time for anything to come together. And there were shows that really never did come together. You just try to you grab hold to the guardrails as tightly as possible and try to get through it at the best level you possibly can. But it really is a process. And I think that's one of the parts of it, is there's going to be nights where it's a little bit more difficult. There are going to be nights where you have to dig a little bit deeper, where you have to and look for the answers, you know, especially when you're in the blocking aspect and you're trying to develop characters. And mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't just, you don't just come out there and all of a sudden, hey, here it is, you know, this is the way it's going to be. You have to search for character. You have to search for the right inflection on a line or a joke or something
exactly.
like that. I mean, there's so much that goes into it, and that's why every single rehearsal is vitally important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you usually don't get the main story of your character until a few weeks after the first read-through, because it doesn't, I mean, learning your lines and all these parts is not an overnight thing. You know, it's not something you practice once and it just automatically clicks. It takes days and weeks and months of, you know, going over the lines, you know, thinking about, okay, why is my character saying this line in this moment? What is the motivation? Who are they talking to and what is it about? You know, all that is part of the process, and it can be a little challenging, but overall, it is worth it. It is a very fun challenge also. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you know, we can get more confident in our characters. We can build those relationships and make rehearsal a lot more fun.
Absolutely. And again, I know that you know, you enjoy that immensely and enjoy the process and enjoy the shows itself. And we're just over a month away, I think about 5-6 weeks now. The very end of May, you open up this show. And again, it's 2 big weekends this time around.
Yeah, it's about a month and a half away from our first show. And this show is pretty big because we have not a 1 weekend of shows, but 2 weekends. So we have 8 shows altogether. So it will definitely take a toll on us, but hopefully, you know, we take care of ourselves, you know, lots of water, lots of tea with honey, just lots of cough drops. I know I've been taking those every day to make sure I keep my voice close to where it needs to be, but it's going to be a really fun show. You know, even if the process is a little challenging getting there, by the end of it, it's definitely going to be worth it. I will have a smile on my face.
Absolutely. Mention that we're going to be talking to 7th District candidate, Democratic candidate for Congress, Kyle Kilborn, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also wanted to note that we're here in Wausau. We're not part of the 3rd Congressional District, but over the course of the last year and a half, a couple of times had the pleasure of talking to Katrina Shankland, who serves Stevens Point in the state legislature. But coming up tomorrow evening, Civic Media, 3 of the Civic Media stations, including the station in Wisconsin Rapids, will be airing live a candidate forum where the 3 Democratic candidates that will be trying to become the Democratic nominee to go up against Derek Van Orden, they'll be part of this event in Stevens Point. And Civic Media, as we go into 2024, will be very much involved in the coverage of so many different elections. And we're very happy to have a live broadcast on these 3 Civic Media stations. So again, if you have not got the Civic Media app yet, this is one of the great reasons to get it, because in addition to being able to listen to Bull Falls Radio at any time, you're able to listen to any of the stations on the Civic Media radio network, including the Wisconsin Rapids station, WFHR. And tomorrow evening, they will be, again, providing a live broadcast of this candidate forum that will be held in Stevens Point. And I think it'll be very interesting, because there's a really good group of Democrats that are running for this. And I think anybody that's listened to Pat Kreitlow, where he's focused quite a bit on this 3rd Congressional District race. Well, you got Rebecca Cook, who is running for a second time and lost in a very, very tight race for the Democratic nomination a couple of years ago. You got Katrina Shankland, again, state representative in the Assembly since 2013, just a very impressive young woman. And again, I think that's something as well. And I think that also Rebecca Cook is a younger woman as well. I think it's terrific to see another generation be involved. We have so many, I think, from the very top, as you see, right through the state legislature, a lot of, you call, older generation folks. And that's not a disqualification. But at the same time, I do think that we need to see a bit of a younger generation start to take a little more control of the destiny of our state and of our country. And Katrina Shanklin has just been a fantastic representative for Stevens Point in the Assembly for more than a decade. And she's also proven the ability to get votes from outside the base. That was one of the great wins a couple of years ago in 2022. And I remember on election night, we had our live coverage here on Bow Falls Radio and Civic Media. And one of the races that we kept a close eye on was the Katrina Shanklin race, because the Republicans had targeted her as a seat that they could flip. Instead of flipping it, she won by a greater margin, a double-digit margin, because she has got the great ability to speak to Republicans, independents, and Democrats. And it'll be interesting to see if she's able to do that again in this race for the 3rd Congressional District. And then you have the third candidate running as well Wilson. Eric Wilson is the third candidate, also another younger person. So again, that's tomorrow night on the Civic Media app and on the locally grown radio WFHR. I would say it would be very much worth your time to tune in and learn a little bit more about that third district, which could be a potential flip for the Democrats, as Derek Van Orden, of course, is a rather controversial figure in the western part of the state. The time is 8:18. Coming up, we're going to check out what could be a rainy forecast. We'll be joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is The Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is a beautiful start here in central Wisconsin. Lots of sunshine, temperature already into the 50s. Really could not ask for a better way to start the day. But will it stay this way? And I ask that because, as I said earlier, it's all about me. Because it's all about me, because later today I'm supposed to be outside covering high school baseball west in Everest. Big high school baseball game. First pitch set for 5 o'clock, but everything I'm hearing says, well, as I look to my right, look at all this sunshine, look at this beautiful start. It's not going to be like that later today. So I need to know. I need to prepare. I need to know if I need to have a rain slicker later today. If I need to know if I need to avoid thunderbolts later today. And there's one person that can answer all those questions. It's our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. How are you doing?
Doing terrific. It was a really beautiful day yesterday. Boy, I mean, yesterday morning when we talked, it was like calm. It was like a 3-mile-per-hour wind. Then by the time I went out for lunch, it started really getting breezy. And even later in the afternoon, I went out there and it was howling again. We've been going through so many windy days. It's almost like we're on the Great Plains out here in recent weeks.
Yeah, you're right. It does feel like that. Where there are winds, you know, it's kind of a funny story. So I forecast for the Great Plains as well. And I kept saying, oh, it's going to be breezy. It's going to be breezy for 30-mile-per-hour gusts. And I was corrected that is not breezy for the plains. That is a constant that they always have. So when it reaches 40, 50, 60 mile per hour, then I could say breezy. I was like, okay, got it. So yes, you're exactly right. We've been feeling what they're used to, those winds just continuing to whip, and they're not going to stop at all this week. Not at all. So expect it to be another breezy one, gusts up to 25 miles per hour today. for the afternoon, it's out of the south. South wind's a good wind if you want warm temperatures and spring-like vibe, and that's what we're going to get for this afternoon. So highs will climb to the low to mid-60s for us here in central Wisconsin. It'll be bright and beautiful for a good chunk of the day. Go out for a walk on your lunch. Soak it up. Because, yes, Chad, you might have a little to worry about this afternoon. So here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
We've got a cold front pushing through. So it's this little low-pressure system clipping us from Canada. It's going to quickly move through Minnesota, across Lake Superior, into the Wisconsin, and then into the UP. So it's not a big, strong system that's going to linger or anything like that. It's just going to move very fast and drag a front through. And as it does so, after a beautiful spring day with the south wind warming us up, we're going to see some storms fire up. So my timing, I'm thinking 3 to 5 p.m. here for us into central Wisconsin. It could start earlier, as soon as 2, but I really think 3 to 4. And Chad, yes, it could linger till 5, but I have a feeling it's going to push out of here before your game. Is that when it starts?
Yep, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Okay. Oh, My fingers are crossed for that, but there is a chance.
So you think there's going to be a hole in there, basically, that we'll see some things earlier, then maybe it'll stop, and then are we expecting anything after that?
No, actually, it's going to clear out after that, and the winds are going to shift out of the north, and we're going to drop cold below freezing tonight.
Oh, boy. Okay, very good.
Yes.
I have no idea. So basically, I have no idea what to expect. So it's going to be a mystery. I'm going to knock on wood here that we get it in, but all right. That's actually a little better than I expected, because I thought once it started coming, it's going to hang around for quite a while.
And just keep hitting. No, I don't think so. I think you'll get a storm or two when it'll push on right out of here. So what if I was Chad, what I would wear today? I would wear some waterproof shoes, some boots or something, because it might come down pretty quick.
Okay.
And then a windbreaker or raincoat or something, and then maybe a thermal underneath it, because once those cold winds start to push in tonight, and if you're wet from a little bit of rain lingering, keep that in mind, it's going to be cold.
Absolutely. And then after that, you said it's going to cool down, but a lot of sunshine for the next couple of days.
Yes. Tomorrow, beautiful out there. No rain chances. It's going to be a touch cooler, though, because of that cold front and the north winds still staying feisty. Highs will hit about 60, I think, for us. Not too bad. But then Thursday, Friday is going to be the 50s. So that's when it really starts to settle in.
Okay, very good. Well, again, I will take your advice. I will be prepared this afternoon, because doggone it, I can't afford to get cold and wet, because then the voice goes, as you well know.
Yes, so true, so true. And also keep in mind, some of these storms, especially the first ones that fire up, could turn severe. Mm. So we're looking at hail potentially, and then some gusty winds in those. But that's about it for those storms. So just keep that in mind, too, if you are out there earlier.
And, of course, if there's any severe weather, we'll get it right to you here on Bull Falls Radio.
Oh, yes, we will.
Brittany Merlot, thanks for all that information. Have yourself a great rest of your Tuesday.
You, too. Have a great one, everyone.
Bye, Brittany.
Bye.
That is our Brittany Merlot, meteorologist, joins us every morning at 8:20 here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. Right now, again, just a really terrific start this morning. Partly cloudy skies at our studios in downtown Wausau. The temperature is 51 degrees. Variable winds at just 5 miles per hour. The dew point is 37. Relative humidity of 59%. The barometer at 29.60 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. So again, basically, I don't know I guess I expect some rain this afternoon, but hopefully that will not affect our broadcast today of Wausau West and D.C. Everest in high school baseball. Again, we will have coverage beginning with the pregame show right now at 4:50. That's our scheduled start time, and the first pitch is at 5 p.m. The good news is, if there's any delays, that they do have lights now over at the Wausau West Baseball Diamond. That's brand new. First year with lights, and they also have artificial turf on the infield. That will help as well, should there be any rain issues during the course of the early afternoon hours. So, again, if you can join us today, 4:50 for the pregame, 5 o'clock for the first pitch. Wausau West taking on D.C. Everest in high school baseball live right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. I haven't talked to a whole bunch about this recently. If you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, you really need to do so. It's such a great resource. Not only are you able to listen to anything that is on the air live here on Bow Falls Radio or any of the Civic Media radio stations, you're able to go to our podcast page. We have all of our previous Wausau West and New McCaffick and Marathon High School broadcast. And plus, you have a previous broadcast of this show. Every one of the hours of this show posted as well. And if you have that Civic Media app, able to get to it so very easily. So go to your app store, go to your Google Play, go wherever you download your apps. It is absolutely free. Download the Civic Media app. We have an information update coming up. News, weather, and sports. We do it at the top and the bottom of every hour. And then after that, we will be joined by 7th District Congressional Candidate Kyle Kilborn. He's coming up. This is the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Home show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Expecting to be joined momentarily by Kyle Kilborn, 7th District Congressional Candidate, running for the seat currently held by Tom Tiffany. He's not linked in with us quite yet. Hopefully there's no issues with that. Just resent the link to him, so hopefully he will get that and be with us in the next few minutes. Going to talk about the issues, obviously, and just last weekend, of course, after a very long delay. And again, the politics that we have seen in such an important issue such as aid to the Ukraine, aid to Israel, has been embarrassing in a certain respect, the way that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, played the politics of this. And then finally, okay, we're going to finally do it, but the weeks and the months that were wasted before this bill was passed this past weekend to get some much needed aid, where over the last number of weeks and months we've seen the Russians be able to take territory and take the lives of so many Ukrainians. Again, the politics of this has been very disturbing, to say the least. So again, we'd like to talk about that, and also talk a bit about nuts and bolts about a campaign in order to be able to be successful against an incumbent. And again, if you look at the records in United States politics when it comes to being able to knock off an incumbent, no matter what race it may be. It could be, you know, House of Representatives in this case, U.S. Senate, could be even for statewide offices or for state assembly or state senate. The numbers are very, very difficult. So we're going to speak to Kyle Kilborn about that. And I see that the congressional candidate for the 7th District has joined us. And first of all, Kyle, thank you again for coming on, and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back on.
Absolutely. And there's a lot to discuss, but I thought we would start off with maybe a little nuts and bolts, because obviously there's so many issues involved in running for office and to differentiate yourself against your opponent. But also, in order to get that message out, you need to be able to have the support of people within the district who are willing to give you small amounts of money to be able to spread the word. And I just saw, I think it was yesterday, that your campaign put out that it was a good quarter, the first quarter. That, and not only that, it's come from a lot of what you'd call average people of the 7th Congressional District. And that's vital, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's, it sort of shows you the grassroots support that, that we have. You know, this quarter was great for us. We raised 55% more than we did the quarter before. And it comes from donors that are sending in their checks and sort of, you know, listening to the message that I'm telling and saying, yeah, that resonates with me. And so they're voting with their money and, you know, supporting my candidacy to take on the incumbent.
We have been talking to you during the course of this campaign. And I was saying it earlier in the program, all of a sudden you look and it's late April and the calendar moves so very quickly. Over the months that you've been doing this, what's the biggest difference in your campaign right now that maybe that you've learned on the road or in your discussions with voters? How are you different as a candidate here on April the 23rd than you were when you first started this race?
Yeah. It's actually been a year since I started the race, and I've learned a lot along the way. I think for me, it's, you know, keeping true to the issues that are important to voters. And, you know, what I'm learning is, you know, it's the heart of their communities is what they're most interested about. It's schools, it's healthcare, it's hospitals. It's, you know, having those jobs so that people can sort of live in these communities and sort of make them a vital part of their lives. And, you know, making sure that the campaign stays focused on that and doesn't get distracted by what's happening in Washington, I think is one of the things I'm learning. I think on the other side, it's the infrastructure. You know, starting a campaign is kind of like running a business. You gotta like, you know, have, you know, your website, you gotta have a way to take in money. You gotta have a way to sort of get your message out there. And that takes time and building that infrastructure. And so we've been very diligent about, you know, as the money comes in, spending it in the right places, being very efficient about how we go about spending that money and making sure that, you know, we're spending it on voter outreach and like making sure that we're getting that message out to the voters that need to hear it.
You mentioned a few issues that you've been talking about, and I want to start with, again, healthcare, and especially rural healthcare, because that has become even more important in recent months. It's hard to believe that in 2024 we are now living in a time where we're seeing these hospitals close down and people are forced to go hours and hours and hours for some of the most basic healthcare needs. As you look at this, maybe in a big picture way, what are you seeing? What are you hearing about the healthcare issues, especially for rural voters within the 7th, and maybe any ideas that you have on where we should be going with this? Because, again, it's really hard to believe that in this time, in this era, that we are discussing the fact that people have to go even further and further to get basic healthcare needs.
Yeah. That's one of the challenges of rural healthcare is that it's a huge distance. And so people have to travel farther and further away as these hospitals and clinics shut down. I think it's, you know, vital that we have funding that sort of makes sure that these hospitals can stay open. You know, when you have an ER that's in an urban center, you know, they have patients coming in all the time. Whereas in a very rural area, like, emergencies happen infrequently, but we still need that ER open and we still need those doctors that are there. And so, you know, part of that is making sure that the funding stays there to support these rural hospitals. I think the other thing is we've known that this was coming for at least a decade. We've had stats out there saying rural hospitals are, you know, on the verge of closing. They're not making enough money from patient care and insurance companies. And so we've done nothing about it for the last decade.
Along that same line, I think we could expand that to even education and other areas. And during the debate that we saw in the last week when it came to funding for Ukraine and for Israel, I saw some quotes. I think one was from Josh Hawley, who is a senator from the state of Missouri, saying that we shouldn't be spending money across the ocean and in foreign lands. We should be spending it here. And then somebody, I think, very wisely pointed out is you don't just vote against the money that's going towards Ukraine or for other foreign allies. You vote against the money that would be going to Missouri schools or Missouri healthcare or United States healthcare. It has to be, I think, specified that when you talk about these issues, we have to be able to fund some of these when it comes to education, when it comes to healthcare. And we see folks, and I would say that Tom Tiffany fits very much within the mainstream of that group, think that in the conservatives in the House of Representatives, that there has to be investment in these areas, correct?
That's correct. I think, you know, as we see from, you know, an incumbent like Tom Tiffany, is that he talks a lot of, you know, we have to fund things closer to home, but when it comes to it, he doesn't vote for that way. He you know, votes against the Infrastructure Act. He voted against, you know, anything that sort of is an investment in the community. And we just have to hold him accountable to that and, you know, ask our voters, like, is this what we really want? Do we want our communities to shut down? You know, school leaves a community, that community is basically done for. No one wants to go to a community where the school isn't funded. And so, you know, with the consolidations that are happening across the district, we see that. We see empty schools, we see empty storefronts. And, you know, that's one of the things we have to really, you know, challenge our incumbent about. I think for me, it's, you know, what I'm trying to get out there is a message of, you know, we need a new rural deal, is that, you know, let's start investing in, you know, adjacent industry that will help the community, that builds on what's already here. I like to think of the idea of forestry and farming. You know, those are two huge major things in our district. Let's talk about biochar, where we take waste products from the forestry industry and sort of help improve the soil for our farmers. And like that sort of is a new industry that will capture carbon and put in the soil, to sort of enrich the soil. We can talk about, you know, arts and entertainment. We're a huge tourism district. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we start bringing in more industry that will help support industry that's here, and sort of help grow the district that will sort of help provide for those funding that we need to keep our schools and hospitals open.
When we brought up the name Tom Tiffany, obviously it's always difficult to go up against an incumbent, because, and I think as you noted in your press release yesterday, talking about where Tom Tiffany's getting his money, he's obviously got some pretty deep-pocketed funders that make it difficult. But when it comes to engaging Tom Tiffany, in fact, I was talking to a colleague earlier today and mentioned that you were coming on the program, and he said, oh, I want to know how he's going to engage Tom Tiffany, because Tom Tiffany is saying these things and not doing basic, like you said. I thought that list of ideas, you don't hear that from Tom Tiffany. You hear about the southern border when it comes to Tom Tiffany. You hear about those kind of issues to basically scare a lot of folks in the 7th District. How do you go about trying to engage Tom Tiffany? Because that was a question that I got, and I thought I'd pass it on to you, because that's obviously, you want to talk a lot about issues and about positive aspects for the 7th, but at the same time, you do have to engage what the incumbent is and has done and what he is saying as well. How do you go about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to just sort of reflect his record and sort of remind voters, like, here's what he's saying he's doing, and here's what his record is. And I think, you know, one of the things we've known about Tom is he'll say he's for things like veterans, and then he votes against bills that actually help veterans. And sort of, you know, he says one thing and does another. I kind of think of him as, you know, two-tongued Tiffany, and sort of like, how do we think about making sure that his record is out there and accurate? And, you know, that's how I would approach it. It's just making sure, you know, he's being held accountable to what he's actually voting on. And I want people to sort of, you know, hear from me, you know, I am focusing on your needs. Mm-hmm. I am going to, you know, future-proof the district. And like, that's not stuff we hear from Tom. And so just, you know, holding up a mirror to what he's saying and doing, and just, you know, letting voters decide.
And something also in the last year when talking to you and following your campaign that you've been consistent about is talking to the rural voters of the 7th, because I think there is this tradition here now in recent elections where if you got a D next to your name as compared to an R next to your name, that there's a certain hurdle that you have to get over. In these discussions, do you have the sense that you are resonating with a lot of the voters that you're going to need in order to be a credible challenger to Tom Tiffany?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of times there hasn't been a D up here. And so that's part of the challenge. Mm-hmm. We need people to run at all levels in the district. And, you know, with the new maps at the state level, I think that will get excitement to people and bring them out to vote. I think for me, it's, you know, there is some hesitation. Oh, you're a Democrat, you know. I think it, you know, being honest to my values, to where my sort of loyalties lie is with the voters, and sort of, you know, having those conversations one-on-one, I see that. I see people, you know, I've talked to independents and they're like, you know, I just hate what's going on in DC and I'm so disgusted and, you know, disenfranchised. And I think, you know, saying, hey, you have a choice. You know, I am this alternative person who's not Tiffany, who's not in DC, who's not a politician. You know, let's talk and chat about the issues.
For folks that want to get more information on your campaign, what's the best way to do it?
Go to my website. It's kylekilbourn.com, which is KYLEKILBOURN.
Fantastic. Again, congratulations on the good report. Congratulations on the continued success on the trail. And hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again as we continue into this very busy and very important 2024.
Thank you so much.
That is Kyle Kilbourn again, candidate for the 7th Congressional District, Democratic candidate, joining us, hoping to replace Tom Tiffany as the 7th District Congressman in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to come back. More to come. The time is 8:48. Again, beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. As I look outside to my right here on our downtown studios, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, 51 degrees under partly cloudy skies. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. On Tuesday, it's a Wisconsin Valley Conference baseball showdown as the Wausau West Warriors play host to the DC Everest Evergreens. Hear all the exciting action live on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 4:50 and the first pitch at 5 p.m. Wausau West High School Baseball on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurant, Sun Printing, Graphic Packaging International, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Menke Automotive, Shine Chiropractic, and Picks and Pieces. It's Wausau West hosting DC Everest in high school baseball. Tuesday, starting with pregame show at 4:50, first pitch at 5 p.m. on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, the Civic Media app. Again, the time is 8:52, 51 degrees under mostly cloudy, actually, partly cloudy skies. Got the sun shining right now, but expecting some rain as we get into the afternoon. Again, we'll keep you up to speed on the weather as we continue. And again, thanks to 7th District Democratic Congressional candidate Kyle Kilbourn for joining us. And again, he is running for the Democratic nomination against Elsa Duranzo. Going to be reaching out to Elsa, get her back on the program as well to talk about her campaign. The primary will be on August the 13th. So August the 13th, the Democratic primary will be held, and then the winner of the primary will move on to take on the incumbent, Tom Tiffany. Again, I think Tom Tiffany, when you really look at the record, what Tom Tiffany is focused on in comparison to what really would affect the day-to-day lives of the people of the 7th Congressional District are the opposite. Again, I remember going to an event with Tom Tiffany during the campaign in 2022. you know, he starts off a little folksy and talking about, you know, being a man of the seventh, man of the Northwoods. And then all of a sudden, what he starts talking about is the southern border. And you can almost see the lighting change as his face went from the happy Tom Tiffany to the evil Tom Tiffany, talking about those evil caravans that are coming through and how they are taking over America. Yes, the border is an issue, but the way that Tom Tiffany and others have used it as a campaign prop, and I think we saw that most significantly when there was a bipartisan agreement with some very conservative Republicans that were involved in it, and then Donald Trump said, no, I don't want to have any kind of bill that would give the President of the United States some credit for actually trying to fix a problem. So no, Republicans, do not vote for this bipartisan agreement, which was agreed to by some of the most conservative members. They were part of this committee to try to get a solution to this issue. But no, for the Republicans, having the issue is better than having a result. So again, I think Kyle Kilborn hit it very well in terms of talking about looking at what Tom Tiffany has said, what Tom Tiffany has done. What has Tom Tiffany done for the average resident of the 7th Congressional District? I'll let you figure that out. Because, I mean, I have my thoughts, but sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes I think it's better to say, okay, just take a look at it. Look at what he has done. Look at what he has, you know, when I look at the people that have represented the 7th in during my lifetime, there's only been three. It's hard to believe. There have been three people that have served the 7th Congressional District. And for many years, it was Dave Obey. Dave Obey was the man for the 7th for about four decades. I mean, he was just...
I still remember him.
Yep, Dave Obey. Yeah. I think it was 1969, before I was born, he was elected to serve the 7th. And then he was elected and re-elected and re-elected and then retired. I think it was 2010 campaign. So at the end of 2010, it was his last year. And then Sean Duffy took over, and now it's been Tom Tiffany.
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, Sean Duffy. Yeah, people, we remember Sean Duffy.
Yeah.
But
the lumberjack.
Yep, the lumberjack.
He was one who had a commercials where he was always chopping trees down, and he had his family dressed in flannel.
Yep, exactly right.
You can't forget those ads because they were kind of hard. They were kind of hard to forget.
But when Dave Obey was the representative, he would always bring back the bacon. And sometimes people would criticize him. Oh, that pork barrel spending. And Dave Obey would say, that's my job. The people of this district put in their tax dollars. They expect and they deserve to have money come back to fix the roads, to add on to the universities, so many different ways. He would come back and back early in my career, they'd send out a press release. Dave Obey's got to have a big presentation. So go over there, and he'd have folks that were going to receive some of this funding to improve the people's lives of the 7th. Mm-hmm. Dave Obey would do that time and time and time again. We have not seen that. And we have not seen that to that level with Sean Duffy, and we've seen it even less with Tom Tiffany. Tom Tiffany is not bringing back the bacon or bringing back anything to the people of the 7th Congressional District. Mm-hmm. We had somebody like that in Dave Obey. We need to have somebody that is focused on the rural folks of this district, and so many of those rural folks, so many rural areas of the 7th, but also focusing on areas like Wausau and other areas within the 7th District. Right. And it's been very interesting to hear what the focus has been for Kyle Kilborn and for the Democrats and Elsa Duranzo for the Democratic nomination in this race going up against Tom Tiffany. So again, I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be, I think, more competitive than it's been in the past. I think it's still going to be, it's going to be an uphill struggle. I mean, it's just the way that this district has leaned to the R's makes it difficult. But I think if people take a long look at Tiffany's record, and also the fact that you reach out to the people where they are in the rural areas, I think that's going to bring people over, and it's going to be very interesting as we continue in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on 9 o'clock, information update. We're going to find out what's going on around the area, around the state, sports and weather as well. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Hour two straight ahead, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Just one day, what you say?